All right, good. It's time for us to open God's Word together. Sister Nancy's got the scripture reading for you today. So if you'd find Psalm 118 in your Bible, that'll be the appetizer. Sister Nancy's got about the second half of that psalm, starting in verse 15 down to the end in your pew Bible. It's on page 704. Thanks, Sister Nancy.
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth vauntedly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth vauntedly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builder refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes, in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen.
All right, let's pray together. We'll thank God for his word. Heavenly Father, as always, we are always eager to hear your word, and I do pray, Father, that your servants now would be listening with open ears for the things that you have to say to us today. In fact, the most precious message we could ever receive and that you have in store for the whole world. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would give power to your written word through the spoken word today. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, with that in the background, if you'll turn over, if you're using your pew Bible, page 1266, it's Acts chapter 10. And verse 34, we'll pick up where we have left off last time, Acts 10:34. So over the last couple of weeks, we have been introduced to Cornelius, the Roman centurion. We've gotten to know his character somewhat, and we watched as this meeting between him and his family and close friends, between them and Simon Peter, has been divinely arranged and brought about. And last week, we saw Peter arrive, and he found the best kind of audience a messenger could ever want, and that is listeners who are anxiously awaiting to hear what he has to say, knowing that the words he's going to speak are nothing less than a message from God to them. Right? Why have you called for me? Peter asked. And the answer was, if you back up a couple verses, Cornelius says, well, 4 days ago, I was in my house, I was praying at this very hour, and an angel of God came to me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers, God has seen your acts of mercy. Now I want you to send for Simon Peter. He's going to come to you. He's going to speak very important words to you. So Peter arrives, Cornelius says, here we all are. We are ready to hear what God has commanded you to say to us. Right? That attitude, that very receptiveness, readiness, that should mark our behavior every time the word of God is opened to us by a messenger who takes his responsibility seriously. God speaks through the word, right? Whoever has ears, let him hear. So today, saints, let's hear the message that God commanded Peter to give. So verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Okay, this is, if you like, it's a preface he's making an observation about this gathering, the situation that he's in, before he gets to the main message. Now, remember how I told you a few weeks ago that God was going to teach Peter a lesson? Okay, this whole thing to him, this is very fascinating, right? And the partiality, right? In truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. What he's referring to, of course, is God's perceived partiality up till now towards Israel, right? Which in Israel was practically an article of faith, right? We're God's chosen people, right? God has shown a certain favoritism. We're his favorites. Right? Is it not right there in a psalm, for example, Psalm 147, which says, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. And as for his judgments, they don't know them. Okay, so you could very easily take that to mean that Gentiles, right, these other nations, have no part in God. Okay, but God right now is showing Peter something completely different, right? God is showing him that what matters is a man's heart more than his heritage, right? Now, God did set Israel apart for himself. They're a special nation to display his glory, but he did not, if you like, set such a boundary around them that no one else could ever be accepted, right? God, as we see here, is willing to accept a man from any ethnic background if that man fears God and works righteousness. Okay, so remember what we know about Cornelius. He's Italian, right? He's not a Jew. He's from far across the sea. He has a certain amount of light available to him, presumably, though, from his contact with the Israelites and whatever other good morals he's had instilled in him. And his, so to speak, his heart is in the right place. Okay, he's lived up to the light that he had, and God knows the hearts of every man, regardless of where they are in the world, regardless of their ethnicity. This is very important, actually, for you and me, since we're Gentiles. Okay, we are not ethnically members of God's chosen people, are we? Okay, our ancestors are from far away from the promised land, you know, far from the 12 tribes. It's a very important question to ask. Does that affect whether God is going to accept us? Okay, well, I guess the first question, first of all, is do we or do we not actually want God to accept us? I'd say that's an important first question. Okay, well, whom does he accept? Here we're learning. In any nation, whoever fears him and does what is right is accepted by him. Okay, which obviously means not whoever does whatever is right in his own opinion, or whoever does whatever is right according to his culture or according to his native religion. Okay, whoever does what is objectively right, right? What God says is right. And so we've seen Cornelius's heart was manifested in his conduct. Right, we've said this several times. What's his conduct? Well, he prayed always. Right, he feared God. He prayed always, and he gave alms generously. Well, think about that. How is that not love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself? Those two things. Right, that sounds like he's pretty close. Now, if we want God to accept us, isn't that the same thing that God requires? Right, not just empty talk. We don't want to just say we believe in God, right? We don't want to just it's not just coming to services. It's not just a lifeless profession of faith. Fear God, keep his commandments, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what Solomon said a long time ago. And he said that is the sum total of the matter, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. And of course, the top two commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor. Okay, it's not a matter of saying that you do it. It has to show itself in your conduct. So, does it? I mean, it's a question you need to ask of yourself. Do those things show themselves in my choices, my actions? Cornelius feared God, prayed always, and gave alms generously. Sounds to me like he's on the ball. Now, is it his fault that he's not born a Jew, or he's not born into the 12 tribes? Okay, it's not his fault. Okay, he's not born into the, the hymn we'll sing later, the chosen seed of Israel's race. But isn't God the God of the whole world, right? He's not the God of the Jews only, he's the God of the whole world. Yes, the whole world is his, and he knows. So it's Peter now saying, I get it. Right? Peter, until now, I think, might have acknowledged that in theory it would be possible for a Gentile to be accepted by God. But, they're not just sitting around the living room over drinks, over coffee, talking about it in theory. You think in theory it'd be possible for a Gentile? This isn't theory. This is practice, right? He's seeing it with his own eyes. This is a real live case, right? He's never seen anybody like this before. So 34, in the New American Standard Bible, he says this, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Right? I most certainly understand it now. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Okay? The thing that's important that we understand, though, is that the way that God actually will accomplish the salvation of such a person is by sending him the gospel. Right? We said a couple weeks ago, he's not just going to leave him in that state, well, he's a good man, that's good enough for me. He's going to send him the gospel. Right? A person who lives up to the light that he has, God sends him the full light. Right? And the gospel of salvation in our Lord Jesus is the fullest revelation, is the fullest word of God to mankind. Okay? He knows everybody's heart, yes. But his will is that men and women should know him by way of the Son that he sent into the world. Okay? The Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. Right? We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? Nobody has ever seen God but the Son of God, right? God the only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. Okay, so this is Peter's job, right? This is his commission, right? They're given a commission. What's the commission? Preach Christ, right? Preach the knowledge of God, and where? Go into all the world and make disciples of who? Every nation. Okay, so here I am talking to these Gentiles. What am I supposed to tell them about? Well, tell them about Christ. So here we go, verse 36. He says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, right? Because you live here, you're right there in Caesarea, right? Everybody who lives in that region would have heard something about the happenings, right? Everybody's heard something about Jesus who lives there, the miracle man, the commotion surrounding him, the political stuff happening around him. Okay, that word you know, which was, this version says proclaimed, but really it's just the things which happened, okay, the things that came to pass throughout all Judea and then began from Galilee after the baptism which John the Baptist preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hey, if you live in this part of the world, you know something about this. Okay, you've heard. So 39 says, and we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews, Judea as a whole, and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. So, you might have heard things. We are witnesses of it all, right? And we can affirm to you that it's all true. It's not rumors. It's not stories. Okay, we were there. Verse 40, him God raised up, right? They killed him, but God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, right? He wasn't a hallucination. He wasn't a dream, a phantom. We didn't like catch a little glimpse of him. Here I am, touch my hand, see, it's I myself. Okay, he showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, namely us, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So friends, this is the content of the gospel. If you wish to be saved, or if somebody you know wishes to be saved, this is what you must believe and why. Okay, this is the message that, what did Cornelius say? What did God command you to say? Well, then this is what God commanded to be declared under the whole heaven in order to save men and women. Okay, so whoever has ears, let him hear this. God has given a testimony, and to be saved, you must believe the testimony that God has given, and that testimony is pertaining to his Son, right? The one that he anointed, the one that he ordained to be the judge of the living and the dead. So, we commonly talk about the word faith. When we talk about faith, well, faith in what? It's a trivial thing when somebody says that, you know, they're a person of faith, they have faith. It's really a meaningless, it's just about an empty, pointless phrase. What do you have faith in? Okay, well, you believe in God? What about him? Right? You believe there's a higher power? You believe life has some meaning? You believe that things have a way of working out someday in the long run? Like, what is that? I mean, all of that is fuzzy, you know, it's got no anchor point. There's no content to it, right? I believe that while God is up there and he hears prayers, is that the thing that God requires you to believe, that God is up there and he hears? Is that all? Saving faith, right? True faith is believing the testimony of God. Right? God has given a certain testimony, and we are required to accept that testimony as true. Okay, so see how Peter begins, verse 36. The Word, right? The Word. Peter begins, the Word which God sent. He sent a Word to the children of Israel, specifically the proclamation of peace with God through Jesus Christ. Right, peace with God through Jesus Christ. He gave a testimony to Israel regarding the way of peace. If you accept the testimony and you believe it, you will have peace with God. If you don't receive the testimony, how is there then any way for you to have peace with God? Okay, so Christians, this essentially is our mission as the children of God, to make sure that people hear this specific testimony which God has given to the world, peace through Jesus Christ, right? Reconciliation with God, acceptance by God, adoption as a child by God through Jesus Christ. Saving faith is not just faith generally. You get me? Right? There's some, I believe in some invisible realm. I believe in some kind of spirituality, some kind of force. No. God sent a specific word to Israel, and that specific word, that testimony, is that this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Okay, he is Lord of all. And the way John puts it over, if you can read 1 John 5, you'll find this. John says, you know, we accept human testimony. Right? You go to court, you have people testify, you accept human testimony. God's testimony is greater because it is God's testimony which he has given about his Son. And whoever believes in the Son of God accepts God's testimony. But whoever doesn't believe the testimony is making God out to be a liar. Right? You're saying you're lying because you haven't believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is it. This is the testimony. God gives us everlasting life, and that life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Okay? Because God will grant life, God will grant peace with himself to those who believe his testimony. Okay? That is what saving faith is. You understand, it does not just mean that you have some general form of religion or spirituality or whatever it is. You know, just pick one out of a hat as long as you have one. Okay? No, it means that you believe specifically the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the Lord of all. Okay? John says that Jesus is the word. Right? He is the message from God. Right? Peace with God through Jesus Christ. So now, how has God testified this word? How has he done it? Okay, so Peter explains to Cornelius' family, well, number one, you know about this. Right? This is what's been going on around our whole country the last few years. He says, that word you know. Right? These happenings, you're aware of them. Right? First, John the Baptist, a man sent from God, right? He's out there proclaiming a message of repentance, prepare the way for the Lord, right? All the countryside, you might have heard, went out to be baptized by him and listened to him preach. And what did he say? Well, I baptize with water, but there's somebody coming after me who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, well, he was first, and then after that, up in Galilee, it began. Jesus of Nazareth. He's anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is my beloved son, right? God is with him. You know how he went through Galilee. You know he went down through Judea, the surrounding regions. He's doing good. He's freeing people from the afflictions of the devil. He's healing. He's teaching. Okay, the news about him spread abroad, it says in the Gospels. And people thronged to him from all over the place, even a centurion or two, right? You know, colleagues of this man. So Peter says, we're witnesses of the whole thing, start to finish, right? We're witnesses of how they put him to death by nailing him to a tree. And Pilate and Herod and Caiaphas and the scribes, they conspired to have him removed out of the way, put to death, and we were there for that. Right? Maybe you, Cornelius, maybe you heard that he was put to death, but God raised him up from the dead, and we saw that too. Right, we spoke to him. We ate and drank with him after he was raised. We saw him be taken up into heaven, and he gave us a commandment: go and preach that he is the one that God has ordained to judge the living and the dead. Okay, so friends, that and that specifically, that is the testimony of God, which all men everywhere must hear and must believe. Okay, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and to him every single knee will bow, yours and mine and everybody else. He is the judge. He's been made the judge by God. And that is not our church's opinion. That's not our preference. That is God's own testimony. Okay? And Peter says, look, it's not just us apostles saying this. This was also the testimony beforehand of all the prophets. Okay, so do you remember Jesus saying, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said about how the Messiah would suffer first, then enter his glory? And you know how he started with Moses and went all the way through the Old Testament, all through the prophets, and unfolded everything the scripture said about what? About himself. Right? This is God's testimony to planet Earth. The prophets beforehand, Christ himself for 3 solid years by his words and by his deeds, and then afterwards his apostles, who were the eyewitnesses of all that he said and did, and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. Okay, the Lord God said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Right? Jesus said, all judgment is committed to the Son by the Father. He is the Lord of all, and whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Okay, that's the word. That's the word that God sent to the children of Israel. Peace through Jesus Christ, God's anointed one. Okay, so when the scripture says that we're saved by faith, to have saving faith then is to accept God's testimony, and to accept that testimony. It does not just mean to believe that there is a God. It does not just mean some general be a good person kind of fuzzy philosophy or some vague, well, I believe there's a higher power. It is to accept that authentic testimony of the apostles about the words and the deeds of Jesus, which they witnessed right? They were present for from first to last, and his death and resurrection, which they witnessed, okay, and his exaltation on high as the Messiah and the judge of the world, and the law and the prophets beforehand testify about him. That word you know, don't you? The word is established. Has God spoken in the Lord Jesus Christ? He's done this, right? God has testified to him through the prophets and the apostles. And this is the testimony. He offers you the gift of everlasting life. That life is in his Son. All humanity is going to appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ someday to receive, not just to receive, but to receive from him the reward for the deeds done in the body. Right? All judgment is committed to the Son. He has the authority to save or to destroy. Okay? And then when the prophets say that whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, it really means whoever. Right? From every nation, God accepts those who fear him and who work righteousness. Let every kindred, let every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe. Crown him Lord of all. Right, so today consider that that word has come to you. Okay, maybe like Cornelius's family, you knew something about it. Right, is there anybody here who does not know that Jesus lived in Israel, went around Galilee and Judea and the surrounding regions doing miracles and preaching righteousness and healing people and freeing them from the hold of the devil? Is there anybody that doesn't know that he was killed on a cross by jealous and evil men, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead on the third day? Okay, maybe you've heard about these kinds of things. Maybe they ring a bell to you. Okay, the testimony of the apostles, the ones who were there and they saw it all, who either they ate and drank, walked and talked with Jesus after he came back from the dead, is that he is the Son of the Most High God, and he is coming from heaven to judge the quick and the dead. Right. God himself sent you this word today. Right? He sent it by way of the prophets beforehand. He sent it by Jesus himself. He sent it by the apostles and the eyewitnesses afterwards. This is deliverance from sin and death for you. This is the pardon of your transgressions. This is the escape from the curse that binds the whole world. Okay? This is the promise of no more dying, no more pain. Right, no more evil. To him, all the prophets and the apostles testify. Okay, so my friend, if you are not a Christian, and if you are not willing to become one, you are rejecting the testimony of God himself, the Almighty, and you are calling him a liar because you haven't accepted what he has done to show you mercy. Right, peace with God through his one and only Son. And I would just appeal to you, will you receive what he offers? Okay, it is not going to be a matter of how spiritual you were, how nice you were, how many friends you had, how rich you were, whether you're Jewish or not. Okay, from the third chapter of the Bible, God began to testify about a Savior. He would eventually come, and Abraham believed one would come. Moses prophesied about him. From Samuel and all the prophets on down, they said such a one would come, a king, a judge, a righteous one. Okay, he's going to make intercession for our transgressions. He's going to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. He's going to be the Lord, our righteousness. And then Jesus came from Galilee. I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will never walk in darkness. Okay, a righteousness from God has been revealed, and to it the law and the prophets testify, Jesus Christ. According to his flesh, he's a descendant of David, but he was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. Okay, turn a deaf ear to that testimony from God. You cannot have life. The life is in his Son. But believe it down deep in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Right? With your heart, you believe. With your mouth, you make confession of it unto salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Lord did this. It is marvelous in our sight. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in, and I will praise the Lord. The Lord Jehovah is God. He has given us light. He is our God. We will praise him. He is our God, and we will exalt him. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. Who will believe in him? Who will confess him? He is the King of glory. Let's pray. Let's bless his name. Heavenly Father, we bless your name for the good news of the gospel. We thank you, Father, that you have sent this word not just to Israel, but all around the world. Thank you, Father, that today it has reached our ears, and perhaps we'll go on through us to reach other ears. And so we pray, dear Father, that you would use us to do your good will in building your kingdom, in saving souls, and in shining forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, how can we ever stop thanking you and praising you for your wonderful works toward us, the redemption of our sins, your perfect life, your wonderful teaching, your perfect example. And even now, Lord Jesus, in heaven, you pray for us. You bring our case, our pleas before the Father. You're a wonderful Savior, and we eagerly await seeing you come from heaven in your majestic glory. We invite you, Father, Lord Jesus, to come quickly to set up your kingdom and to bring honor and glory to you and to your Father. And we pray it all in your most holy and perfect name. Amen.